God commands His end-time people to deliver a warning message to the world, to prophesy again. But most of God's own people have rejected this commission. Learn why God's people must prophesy again and what message must be proclaimed. Next on The Key of David with Gerald Flurry.
As Mr. Armstrong was working on the manuscript, the work's editorial and publishing departments were preparing for the production and marketing of the book. Copy was proofread by Herman Hay, editor of the Plain Truth magazine. He also prepared a thorough subject and scripture index. In the editorial department, graphic artists were designing the cover and dust jacket. Mr. Armstrong had learned in a lifetime in the advertising and publishing fields that details such as type style, page layout, etc., were vital if the printed word was to make an impact. He showed a personal interest in every detail of production. Mystery of the Ages was printed by R.R. Donnelly and Company at their printing plant in Crawfordsville, Indiana. The pages are printed on giant roll-fed presses. Meanwhile, the covers are prepared on automatic machinery at the Crawfordsville plant. With special dies made from Mr. Armstrong's signature, his autograph is stamped in gold on the front of every cover. Mr. Armstrong personally selected the royal purple color for the dust cover. This is not commercially available and has to be specially mixed in the R.R. Donnelly plant.
It had to be ready by today to be handed out as a textbook for this year. So we worked under pressure. Much of it's been rewritten. It's all been reorganized and updated. It had to be different from any book ever written before.
That's 40 years ago. That was played there at the Feast of Tabernacles. In 1985, the last individual speaking there in that little segment, that clip, was Herbert Armstrong talking about just how special Mystery of the Ages was and how he wanted it to go to the largest audience possible. Last week on The Key of David, I tried to give you a sweeping overview of the events that transpired after Mr. Armstrong's death in January of 1986, and then the establishment of the Philadelphia Church of God when my father was fired on December 7th, 1989, and then the fight for Mystery of the Ages that went on for 6 years from 1997 to 2003, and how that we've been distributing this book for, what, 20, 25 years? Longer than that, I guess. Just as Mr. Armstrong wanted, I want to take you through a few verses in Ephesians 3. And Paul here, I mean, he was in prison at the time that he wrote this inspiring book, so uplifting. He was in prison. He spent about a fifth of his ministry in jail, by the way. We know what the world did to Jesus Christ, our Savior. We know what the religious elites of his day did to Christ and to Paul and Peter. Satan has worked to blot out the truth, revealed truth from God. As I said last week on the show, I mean, you have to fight for it. You have to demonstrate a willingness to fight for and even die for the truth. It's that important. Paul says here, "For this cause, I, Paul," verse 1, "the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." He was in jail. "For these Gentiles that God had brought into the church." It says, "If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you," word, it says, "how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery," as I wrote afore in a few words. God made known mysteries to the Apostle Paul. And Paul just went out and distributed that message. He dispensed that message, as we'll see here in a second. And it's the same with the apostle in the last days, Herbert Armstrong. God made known these seven mysteries. And Mr. Armstrong even titled his book, Mystery of the Ages. And we've been drawing a lot of attention to it. If you don't have a copy by now, hopefully most of you have one. But if you don't, we offer it freely. There's no cost or obligation. Just call our operators today and request. This is like a 300-page book. And we offer it without cost or obligation. Seven great mysteries of life. Questions that every human being on earth should be asking or curious about. Paul received it, and then he made it known. Verse 4 says, "Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." What do you do when you receive revelation from God? Well, if you're moved and motivated by the love of God, you immediately want to give it to others. You want to spread the good news. That's what the word gospel means, by the way. It's a good news message. Verse 9, it says, "And to make all men see what is the fellowship," or if you look at that word, it actually means dispensation. To make all men see, not just the mystery, but the need to give it to others, to dispense this message. "To make all men see what is the dispensation of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." We're offering this book freely today as well. Prophesy Again. There's a great section on this passage, verse 9 in particular, in this book, and I'll come to the significance of that phrase, prophesy again, when we get to Revelation 10 here in a second. But God's church is here to give the truth of God to the world, to unselfishly give, to be moved by the Spirit of God's love, which is an unselfish outflowing concern for the good and welfare of others. "Freely you have received, freely give," says God. Just give it away. I mentioned Revelation 10. Let's just go look at a few verses over there. And as you turn over there, and by the way, read along with me. Read it from your own Bible. As I said last week, I mean, we've been talking about some pretty significant milestones and anniversaries, and that's important because God wants us to remember. To remember our history. This is what so many of the Laodicean Christians have forgotten. They've forgotten their own history. They've forgotten the truth. And if you think, I brought this out previously in a lecture, but if you just think about the timing, the milestones, the anniversaries going back to 1985 when Herbert Armstrong was hard at work on Mystery of the Ages, he was near death. He was virtually blind. You heard there in the cold open, he wanted to give, they were hurrying, the quality of materials that went into the printing even, everything had to be set to a royal standard. The message was that important, but the point I made previously in a lecture is that God was reaching out to his people, people in his family, and saying, "Look, this is where I want you to set your minds. This is what I want you to concentrate on. This is the truth that will keep you grounded, that will keep you fired up for God's work." But as I said last week, the majority of God's people, they became spiritually lukewarm. The work of God, the truth of God, it just didn't fire them up, not like it should have. That's what fired up the prophet Jeremiah, by the way. He got a little discouraged. I think it's in Jeremiah 23 or 20. And it says the truth was like fire in his bones. Mr. Armstrong explained that Mystery of the Ages is meant to help you understand the Bible. And this is what the whole world ignores and dismisses. The truth of the Bible. Jesus said the truth is what sets us free. We need a Bible-based reason for everything that we do. So we've got to be studiers of the Bible. We've got to search the Scriptures. Jesus said to search them. John 5, verse 39. And that word, the Greek word for search, means to dig, to investigate, to diligently seek. How many people do that with their Bible study today? All of these books, booklets, they're meant to be read along with your Bible. They're based on the Bible. Notice Revelation 10 and verse 6. It says, "And swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and things that therein are, and the sea and things which are therein, that there should be time no longer," or as the Revised Standard says, "no more delay." You look at these chapters, Revelation 10 and Revelation 11, it's like an inset. I mean, in Revelation, you've got this chronological flow of Bible prophecy. And then right in the middle, I mean, there's all this detail about essentially two books. The mystery of the ages, that's talked about in verse 7. And then the commission that God gives to those who were fired up by mystery of the ages, who even fought for it. Well, they've got to go and prophesy again. Last week I talked about raising the ruins. Amos 9, verses 11 and 12. You see, I mean, I mentioned two books. I mean, primarily it's referring to mystery of the ages throughout this passage. But Malachi's message, as I said last time, I mean, that was meant to warn the Laodicean church that you're getting away from the mystery, from distributing mystery of the ages. Verse 7, it says, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants, the prophets." The mystery of God should be finished, or as other translations bring out, it's about to be finished. I mean, when Mr. Armstrong released Mystery of the Ages in the fall of 1985, 40 years ago, it very quickly became the fastest moving piece of literature throughout Mr. Armstrong's 57-year career as a servant of God, a minister of God. It was just flying off the shelves, going out to millions. Here it was the most popular piece of literature that church, the Worldwide Church of God, ever produced. And it also had the shortest lifespan, 32 months before a collection of corrupt evildoers came in there and said, "You know what? We're going to trash all remaining copies. We're going to order our ministers not to teach or preach from Mystery of the Ages. We're going to tell them, don't you dare dispense Mystery of the Ages. You dispense with it. You get rid of it. You bury it. You blot it out." Mr. Armstrong said in that final year, "I want this to go to the largest audience possible." And it was on its way. It should have been finished. Just like it says here in verse 7, notice verse 11, it says, "And he said to me, you must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings." I talked last week about God raising the ruins. Here it says, you've got to go, you faithful few, you've got to prophesy again. This is the verse where we get the title for this powerful booklet, this inspiring booklet. Prophesy again. Go and do it again. It's the same spirit as Amos 9. Raise the ruins. Just do the work as it was done in the days of old. There's a pattern there. There's a form. It works. If it's a work of faith, if it's not by human might, but by God's spirit, then it's going to succeed. It's going to prosper. You can study that over in Zechariah 4. But this is why God blessed Herbert Armstrong and the Worldwide Church of God fabulously for decades. Because Mr. Armstrong was a man of God. He was a man of faith. He looked to God for guidance and for direction. And God put his stamp of approval on that 57-year ministry and work, with Mystery of the Ages there as a parting gift the most valuable gift that Mr. Armstrong said he could have given to the brethren, and that was God reaching out to those Laodicean Christians, saying, look, you're slipping. You're falling away. A man of sin, I'm about to send strong delusion to see if you love the truth. Go study 2 Thessalonians 2. God sent strong delusion because most of his people didn't love the truth. Not enough to fight for it. Instead, they buried it. This is what Joe DeCotch Jr. wrote in his book, Transformed by Truth. This came out in 1997, right around the same time that they took us to court trying to use the Mystery of the Ages copyright to keep, not to distribute it, but to keep it out of print. He said in his book, in February 1997, we filed suit against the Philadelphia Church of God, one of our splinter groups headquartered in Edmond, Oklahoma, to block the republication of Mystery of the Ages. It's astonishing that this even happened in America, to block the distribution of a book. What is this, a police state? The Worldwide Church of God still holds the copyright to this book, and we contend that no one else has the right to publish it. We feel it is our Christian duty to keep this book out of print. Well, how about that? That's an arrogant statement. In 2 Thessalonians 2, it says of this man that, I mean, he sees himself as God, basically. He's cut from the same cloth as Nimrod and Simon Magus. I've got a Christian duty. He did it in the name of Christianity to keep this book out of print. Well, that should make some people want to get the book and see what the fuss is. If you don't have one, we have it to give it away freely because we fought for 6 years so that we could dispense, as Ephesians 3 and verse 9 says. We believe Mr. Armstrong's doctrinal errors are better left out of circulation. There you go. He decides. He decides which doctrines should be taught and which ones should be left out of circulation. And you'll notice there's nothing in that statement or that paragraph about what God's Word says. What about the Bible? What about the mystery being revealed or made known? What about a great falling away from the truth, as is prophesied in 2 Thessalonians 2? I mean, that's part of the Holy Bible. Notice Malachi 3 and verse 6. It says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I change not. Hebrews 13 says, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is why our history is so important. It's not like we aren't growing or we're just living in the past, but we better know our past. God calls the church the Israel of God. The book of the Bible is primarily about Israel. Why is that? There's a chapter in Mystery of the Ages about the mystery of Israel. The world doesn't know. So many people in the traditional Christian world have no idea. Mystery of the Ages makes it clear. What is God's purpose? What's he working out here below? Verse 7, it says, even from the days of your fathers, or your father, should be singular, you are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, saith the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Why are there so many verses in the Bible like this one? God saying, just return to me, but you won't do it. There's so many verses in the Bible like this one because of how hard and stubborn and rebellious human nature is. It fights God. It resists God. It says God's law is dead and buried. It hates God's law. That's human nature. That's just what human nature does. That's how it thinks. Ephesians 2:2, look at it later. Verse 8, it says, will a man rob God yet you have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. My fathers explained that this verse is talking about using or misusing the tithes and offerings that come into the true church for the work of God, using it for their own selfish and vain purposes. They robbed God. In the court case over Mystery of the Ages, they literally went after the tithes and offerings of the Philadelphia Church of God members. They wanted to steal their money, or the church's money, the PCG, I mean. The spirit of Satan, I mean, it was moving that operation, that attack on God's truth. And God didn't let it happen. God said, look, I'm going to raise those ruins back to life. And you're going to go out and prophesy again. My father's got a long section in this booklet, too. If you want the God Family Vision together with Prophesy Again, just call our operators today. But there's a section in here on robbing God, robbing even the world. It says in verse 9, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation, even the whole world. Really, that's the meaning there. They're robbing the world because they're not giving unselfishly to the world. They're not giving Mystery of the Ages. They're not giving the truth. They're trying to bury it. They're trying to blot it out. I want to play for you a clip. This is from my father's sermon message back in 1997 when he announced that we were going to be printing Mystery of the Ages, clip 2.
This is a very special day. And I want to talk to you about something very special. I don't think you've seen this yet. Maybe a couple of you have. This is the Mystery of the Ages, our version of it, the one we just printed. And I think you can see that's a pretty thick book. And it's nice, big print. So just I think about anybody can read it. We have also, if you've probably noticed, if you've gotten the trumpet, those of you listening on tape, we'll get it this next week, I'm sure, or some of you will. But we have advertised Mystery of the Ages on the back of the trumpet. Now, in this ad on the trumpet, it says, time may prove this to be the most important book written in almost 1,900 years. Now, if you think about that, and if it is the most important book that's been written in almost 1900 years, then you would think that it is something that we ought to give to the world. Think about that. The most important book since the Bible, that's really what Mr. Armstrong is saying, and the Philadelphia Church of God is the only church today that follows in Mr. Armstrong's footsteps. The WCG has destroyed every major doctrine, really, that that man taught, and in the process, they've maligned his character. And now today, we have decided to print that book and give it away free and just simply take the consequences, if there are any, and that will be, of course, entirely up to God. But we have been trying for some time to get this book published and feel that God wants it published, so we're going to publish it and we're going to print it. And we tried to get it out earlier and then at this time, but we find that it is coming out and actually going to be mailed to some people just about around, anyhow, the January the 16th, which is an interesting date. Now, if that's the case, brethren, if that's the case, that has to be one powerful book. And God help anybody who tries to fight against it. And I don't care what they may say about what we're doing in printing that book. We'll take the consequences. I'll take the consequences. The church is here to do something. The church is here to do something. We're not here just to have truth. We're here to have a message and deliver it. I mean, we're messenger people. That's what we are. We have a message from God, and God says, well, what are you supposed to do with that message? I mean, you could ask that question. What are you supposed to do with it? Well, you're supposed to deliver it, obviously. We have a message to deliver in Revelation 3, verses 19 and through 21 tells you that we're supposed to knock. Malachi 3:16 says we're supposed to remember. The whole book of Malachi has to be explained and delivered to this world. a new dimension to the major and minor prophets that Jesus Christ gave to us. And for what purpose? I mean, why did he give it to us? Well, we are God's messengers. A message has to be delivered, right? I asked the question, do I fear getting in trouble over printing the Mystery of the Ages? No, and I said, no, I don't. I fear getting in trouble if I don't. And I mean that. I mean that, brethren. I fear that I'm going to be in trouble if I don't print this message and we don't get this message out, that is the most important book that's ever been written besides the Bible. Makes no difference what anybody in this world says, and it makes no difference what Satan-inspired leaders say. That's the truth, and that's what God's Elijah said, and he said it with perhaps a bit of reservation, but I don't think we need to, because look at the fruits. The greatest book that's ever been written besides the Bible.
Fight, fight, fight. That's the fighting spirit that led us through those 6 years of litigation. That's what led us to victory. And since that time, since we won in 2003, we've been distributing Mystery of the Ages. Just to finish with a verse here in Malachi 3, we're still in Malachi 3. It says, "Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." I mentioned last week on the show how that this is a work of faith to just offer all of these works freely. But God says here, just prove me. If you get in the spirit of give and just, as my father said there, just take the consequences, whatever they may be, but obey God and give God's message, God's revelation and truth to the world. And then just prove God. He'll back you. He'll bless you. He'll open up the windows of heaven and just pour blessings onto that effort. And that's what's been happening these past 36 years of the Philadelphia Church of God's existence. That's what's been happening since Herbert Armstrong died 40 years ago this January. That's all we have time for on today's show. We thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you next time.
All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request our books, Prophesy Again, and The God Family Vision. Order now. The preceding program was a paid presentation of The Key of David, brought to you by the Philadelphia Church of God.